Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Divine Justice Department here at Car Talk Plaza.
I think so. This happened in Cambridge, Ohio. Judge Nicholson, a very clever, I guess, and unconventional judge. He found Alan Law guilty of misdemeanor disorderly conduct because he was driving through town in his truck with the windows open and music blaring. Now, that's not good.
From the stereo.
From the stereo of his truck. So what does he do to the guy? Does he fine him money? No. He says to him, you can either pay a $100 fine or you can listen to polka for 4 hours.
Frankie Yankovic!
Pennsylvania polka!
The guy chooses to listen to 4 hours of
Bud Hundinsky and the polka corsairs.
He didn't have Bud Hundinsky.
No.
He had Frankie Yankovic. And the guy, now that's a clever kind of punishment.
It is.
The guy was listening to modern rock music, and he says, okay.
Could he play it as loud as he wanted to? Well, that was for the first offense. The second offense? Car Talk.
Not 4 hours. No one could do that.
No, it would be tough. Anyway, if you have a question about your car or our taste in music or anything else, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-272-2255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Jerilee with four E's.
J-E-R-E-L-E-E.
That's right. You could be in my class.
What's your class?
I'm an English professor.
Oh.
Really?
Where?
At one of the universities in Washington, D.C., I teach actually developmental reading and writing.
So what's going on?
Okay, this is my problem.
Yeah.
I have a 2006 Toyota Matrix, and I've never really had any problems. I drive it frequently. It takes me about 2 hours to get into work from Maryland. I drive it down in North Carolina. But the problem is that when I come to my townhouse and I turn off the car heaves and sighs and shudders and squeaks and groans, and it's as if it plops down on its belly and just gives out.
This is after you've turned the key off.
Yep.
It's wheezing and sighing.
And all those noises.
All those noises, and it shudders. I mean, I can actually feel the car shaking.
Do you feel that the engine hasn't shut off when this happens? Even though you've turned the key off, what is shaking and shuddering and groaning? And sounds like my brother after he's had too many meatballs.
Well, I guess the whole car is shaking and shuddering and groaning and making sounds. I took the car, actually, to my mechanic, and he drove it around. He was gone for a long time. Came back. He said, there's nothing wrong. And then as soon as I got to my house, it did the same thing. Now, my parking lot has a tiny little incline where the car is facing down. And so when I turn off, it's almost as if it happens at the same time. When I turn the key, it's like I hear this creaking and shuddering. And then if I bounce in the seat, you know, up and down, it makes that sound too.
If you bounce in the seat up and down, you get this. I am confused.
Confused?
Well,
I'm more than confused.
Well, we know that. We know that. And where do you feel that the sound is coming from?
It almost sounds like it's coming from the tires, but, you know, I can run out and I can do it because it only happens in front of my house.
It's the only
spot.
Do you set the handbrake when you park?
Yeah, I pull the handbrake up. I'm looking at my car right now, and there's just a slight incline.
Right. I'm thinking that you're setting the handbrake, but it isn't holding sufficiently, and that's why the car is actually working against the brakes and trying to roll a little bit. It may be rolling so imperceptibly that you don't see it, okay? This is a stick-shift car?
No, it's
an automatic.
An automatic.
And so when you pull in, I'm guessing that you do the following. You put it in park. You turn the key off, and then you apply the handbrake.
Huh.
Is that true?
That is true. But why does it, you know, this like when I jump up and down on the seat, it groans?
Well, because you're actually changing the geometry of the body of the car with respect to the ground, and you're actually making the brakes try to hold the car as you're jumping up and down. What are you doing jumping up and down on the seat anyway? Your neighbors must say, oh,
to make sure it's sturdy enough to drive.
Geraldine's home. This is, I'm thinking, here's what I'm going to suggest you do.
Yeah.
When you pull into your parking spot tomorrow.
Well, you want me to do it right now?
Yeah.
And I'm running out to my car.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. We want you to apply the handbrake first.
Exactly.
Okay, 1 second. Hold on.
We want the engine running first.
Yeah, we want you to pull into your parking spot with the engine running.
I'm turning on the car.
Now you're going to drive into the parking space.
I'm excited, let me tell you.
Well, you can imagine our excitement.
Okay, I've backed out,
okay.
Okay, now I'm coming home. La, 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 la.
Okay.
Now I've just pulled into my spot.
All right, you pull in.
You got your foot on the brake.
Right.
Apply the handbrake, the parking brake, all the way.
I did it.
Okay, shift into park.
Uh-huh.
Now turn the key off.
Uh-huh.
Your foot off the brake.
I did.
Is the noise gone?
Pretty much. I heard just a little groan, but it didn't make the same groan. Now I'm bouncing.
Bounce on the seat.
I'm bouncing.
Harder.
there's no sound.
There you go. Yeah, no, keep going. Good, don't stop. It'll start feeling good after a while. All right, I think we have to hang up now. You're enjoying this way too much.
Shirley, I would have coffee with you any day you're around because I love your laugh.
So what we think it was that when you put it in park and then applied the handbrake, every vehicle that has an automatic transmission, especially when it's parked on an incline, if the handbrake isn't applied fully or doesn't hold very well, the vehicle will start to creep forward a little bit until the parking pole engages. And while that's happening, you're going to get the creaking and groaning. And then finally, it will subside when the parking pole is fully engaged. And at that point, you don't need the handbrake anymore. But by putting the handbrake on first, you're taking care of that situation because you're allowing the handbrake to do its job first and apply
stop
fully.
Everything from moving.
Right. It stops everything from moving, and then the parking pole doesn't have to – you don't have to wait until the parking pole engages for the noise to stop.
Wow, that's brilliant.
Yeah, well, I don't know about brilliant.
It is. I think it's brilliant.
Yeah, well, semi.
Even though my brother thought of it.
All right, well –
I want to ask you guys, are you guys really brothers?
No.
Yes. In name only.
Sounds great, guys. Thank you so much. I enjoy your show.
We enjoyed you, too.
Keep laughing.
Bye-bye.
Bye. 888-CAR-TALK. It's hard to believe
that
you
is
can
a
make,
good laugh.
You can make someone that happy with a silly answer to a car problem. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Yeah, hi. This is Jim Walters in Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Hi, Jim.
Santa Fe.
Great, great place to live if you can afford it.
Oh, most places are like that. Most places which are nice to live in are places which you can't afford to live in.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I agree.
Although, I mean, if you could afford to live in them, they wouldn't be very nice.
Now, all these places like San Francisco, you know what that means, and Santa Barbara and San Clemente. And
all the San.
San Bernardino. What's Santa Fe mean?
Oh, that's good. Santa Fe. Ah, I know it. I happen to know this. Santa Fe, although no one really realizes this, people think of it, since it's in New Mexico, they think of it as some kind of Spanish origin, Mexican origin. Oh, no.
No?
No. It's a Norwegian origin. Many, many years ago, Santa Claus was a woman named Faye. I don't know what Santa Fe is.
Jim must know.
Do you know?
I'm going to be embarrassed for not knowing.
My brother knows.
No, I don't.
No, I stick with my Norwegian story.
It means Saint Faye, and I'll have to defer. I'm not exactly.
All right. Well, we'll let you slide.
We won't embarrass you.
Oh well, you've already done that.
We've already done that.
My own fault. I apologize.
Jeez, Jim, I was giving you an opportunity to shine here. I figured everyone from Santa Fe is going to know. I mean, it's an unusual name.
No, it's a fairly common name in the Hispanic cultures up in Mexico, Spain, and stuff. It's a very common name. It means Saint Fay.
Saint Fay,
really?
Mm-hmm.
I believe that.
I believe it.
And it is a very, very beautiful place to live.
Yes, I've been there.
Notwithstanding the cost of living.
Well, thanks for calling, Jim.
Yeah.
So what's up? What's on your mind?
Well, listen, I have kind of a it's a billing question, but it's also a time compendium question. Basically, I took my Explorer into the local dealer out here for its 60,000 maintenance, and they sort of set the stage with this by saying it's going to. I had to leave the car; it was going to take all day because they had to lube the front axles, etc. And so I know
the question, and I know the answer.
You know the question? You know what Jim is going to ask?
Right.
How much
could they have charged him for 9 hours labor when they were done with him at 11:30 in the morning?
Well, yeah, it isn't 11:30, but it's 1, but that's exactly exactly right. And I guess my question is,
how'd you know that?
Well, first of all, you don't realize that the dealership is moving at relativistic speed. Okay.
All dealerships?
This one is, anyway. You go in there, they immediately accelerate this thing to the service department, not the showroom. You'd get motion sickness.
Yeah. But...
And these guys are trained. They're factory trained to travel at 0.997 the speed of light. Needless to say, I mean, they're keeping time at a different rate. I mean, you know, their hours went by like weeks. I mean, they really worked on your car for 3.5 weeks.
Well, I guess my concern was, A, did the work actually get done?
No.
Quite a list on
these numbered or lettered questions. Did the work get done? Probably not.
Wait, what are the real numbers?
Were you overcharged? Probably yes.
How many hours did they charge you for?
Well, I left the car at 8 o'clock, and this bill was invoiced out. There's an indication that it was totaled up at 12:30.
Yeah.
So, you know, a total of 4.5 hours, and they're charging me for 7.81 hours to do the work. And I'm wondering, can they do that?
Well, they can't do that because they base it all on what's called the book time.
The flat rate time.
Okay, and it gives the mechanic so many hours to do a given job. For example, it says repack the rear wheel bearings. This is not the case in yours because you have no bearings that need to be packed, but just to give an example, and it says 1.2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a mechanic with one finger on each hand could probably do them in 1.2 hours, and most mechanics can beat the book. So they're given that amount of time, and that's what you're charged for, because that's what they use to charge you, but the mechanic is going to do it in less than half the time. A good mechanic can almost always beat the book by a considerable amount.
And don't forget, there's another more acceptable solution to your problem here. It could very well be that there was more than one person working on the car.
No, he'd be lucky if there was one.
But I mean,
as a matter of fact, that was the rationale when I asked them what was happening. He said he had a couple of mechanics on it, but the bill only reflects one technician.
No, I doubt it. No, they went by the flat rate book, which I don't agree with. I think they should charge you for the hours they work in the car. If they worked in it for 4 hours, that's what you should pay for.
I mean, there is great controversy about the flat rate book.
Well, see, the problem with the flat rate book is it allows you for diagnosis. For example, the flat rate book gives you a half an hour to change a distributor cap. Now, any ding-a-ling can change the distributor cap on the average car in 5 minutes. What that flat rate book is giving you that half hour for is to diagnose that the cap is bad and needs to be replaced. But the fault with the flat rate book is it doesn't have a special section for just replacing the thing.
So this is not all that unusual, what you fell
into.
Oh, no. Oh, it certainly is not unusual.
No, in fact, you're the first person that's bothered to look at the bill and notice, but it happens quite a bit.
Oh, believe me, I looked at this. I thought they were leaving me their telephone number out here. But...
What was the bottom line?
The whole bill was $458.95.
Jeez Louise.
This is for the 60,000-mile maintenance check?
They did a tune-up. They did an oil and filter change. They flushed the cooling system. They gave you a good lubing.
Yeah, well, that's what I felt like.
Yeah.
Yeah, the other mistake was you went to a dealership in Santa Fe.
Ah,
you should invest the time and drive to Albuquerque.
Maybe I'm helping that guy pay for his house.
That's right. Sure, he's paying overpaying for his house. You have to drive to Albuquerque next time.
Well, yeah. I guess I have learned another one of those lessons of what I should have done as opposed to what I didn't.
Yeah. But no matter what you did, you would have been charged the same amount. And, I mean, at least they didn't lie to you, much.
No, I mean, I think they may really have had two guys working
on it. I doubt
it.
Most dealerships do not do that. One guy works on it. If he dies, you never get your car back while he's working on it.
Yeah.
Fred died. That's it.
But do you fellas think that they can do all the work in 4.5 hours?
Well, do it right?
I mean, just physically do it. I admit there's a lot of stuff on that. It's pretty mundane.
Yeah, and don't forget, you get pretty proficient at doing the job if you do it over and over and over and over and over again. I mean, my brother's almost figured out how to do the show after 19 years here.
No, I am.
Well, you guys have figured out very well how to do the show. I just love it. I think you guys do a great job.
That was the right thing to say, Jim. Hey, thanks
for
calling.
Or I wish you gave me the right thing to say by saying this is... I've got a great case, and I should storm in there.
No, you don't have
a case at all.
No, they do this to everyone, and they probably did do a competent job. They can probably do it in much less than the book time. The book allows them to charge that much, and that's what you got charged. And you would have been charged that much had someone slower done the job and taken the whole 8 hours to do it.
So I should be grateful for what they charged.
Yes, because you got out early. Yes, you should send them flowers.
Okay.
Thanks for your call, Jeff.
See you later.
Okay, you bet. Thanks a lot,
guys. Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye. All right, Tommy, it's time to head into the puzzlerous rememberous segment of the show. You ready for your puzzler hint?
No, but you start, and I'm going to just catch up. Go ahead.
Okay, here's your one and only hint this week. The other day, you got dressed in such a hurry that you got to work and discovered your socks didn't blank.
Come up far enough to hide the fact that I forgot my pants, too.
No, your socks didn't match.
Match.
The puzzler was from the Matchstick series, and I'll be back with the answer in just a minute.
My mind is that of a broken convertible. I let it ride around with the top down. I got boat upholstery to cover my brain, so I welcome the rain. My mind is that of a broken convertible. Don't need no switch, she's always open. Had to close it though with something I don't know. I hope I never will, but that's what I'm hoping. I said my mind never closed, she's always open.
And even though NPR execs run outside and ask the Salvation Army bell ringers if they can ring any louder whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if you're a jackhammer operator and miss grating noises when you get home.
You can download hundreds of classic Car Talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly. <you know. laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says, listen to the show.
Oh, man!
Shall we dance? Hi, we're back.
I want to learn to play the trombone or the accordion.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and, of course, the answer to last week's puzzler. And as I mentioned a few minutes ago, this was from the Matchstick series.
Yeah.
And I got to say, I have a vague recollection of maybe having used this one before.
Well, I think you did, and I think I probably came up with the same answer. Say it again. I don't remember.
Anyway, here it is.
It was Roman numerals were involved.
As always.
Yeah.
You have a bunch of matches, and you construct the following equation using Roman numerals.
Go ahead.
One. That is Roman numeral one, minus Roman numeral three.
Yeah.
That's three matchsticks, you know,
Yeah.
Equals.
Yeah.
Using two matchsticks for the equal sign. Two.
Yeah.
Which obviously isn't correct.
Yeah.
Anyway, the question is, what's the fewest number of matchstick movements you can make to make it an equation that is correct? And you're not allowed to bend, fold, staple, or otherwise mutilate the matchsticks, and you must use them all.
Yeah.
Here's the answer, moving a matchstick, one matchstick.
Yeah.
And that is, you take the matchstick from the equal sign.
Yeah, yeah.
And you bring it over to where the minus sign is, and you make one equal to three, now minus two.
Sure, that's good.
Or you move no sticks, and you walk around to the other side of the table. You walk around 180 degrees
and
look at it from the other side of the table,
yeah,
assuming you had them set up on a table, and you can look at it from the other side,
yeah,
in which case you need to move nothing.
Well, then that's the right answer.
And it says 2 equals 3 minus 1.
Well, the answer is what's the least number of
matchstick movements?
Isn't 0 leaster than 1?
Yeah.
There aren't two answers. There's one answer.
Okay.
The answer is zero.
In which case, I already used it.
I know you did.
But it was a long time ago, and everyone forgets. Anyway, do we have a legitimate winner?
Yes, we do. The winner is Richard King from Sunnyvale, California. And for having his answer selected at random from the leaf bag full of correct answers that we got, Richard will get a $25 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at cartalk.com. Now, isn't that exciting?
Yeah.
With that gift certificate, you may ask, what can he do? He can get our CD, Car Talk Cartoons, the Car Talk Compendium of Disrespectful Car Songs. You know, they actually sold out and had to make more of these last week. Can you believe it?
No.
It's been so popular that the Shameless Commerce Division ran out of CDs and had to have more of them made. I mean, what do you think of that?
Well, they should have pressed like more than four. You know, I mean, they should have had a little more faith in us, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, we forced the staff to buy copies, and that's five right there.
Anyway, we'll have a new puzzler coming up in the third half of today's show, so be sure to stay tuned for that. It's going to be, I think, an automotive puzzler.
Good.
Right now, if you have a question about your car or anything else, the number to call is one is Murray Hill 4.
In New Jersey.
1-888-Murray Hill 7. I'm sorry, yeah. Murray Hill 7.
3333.
Really?
Yeah. You know what that'll get you?
No. Nothing.
A tape. Of something.
Anyway, our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Rachel, and I'm from Alameda, California.
What's up, Rachel?
Well, actually, I've got some bad news for you two.
Yeah. Go ahead. We can take it.
Okay. How liable are you feeling?
Wait, can we take it? How what are we feeling?
Liable.
As I've always said, we are totally unsuitable. So if this is a legal issue, go ahead. Give it to us.
Okay. This is the situation.
Yeah.
A couple of weeks ago,
uh-oh,
while listening to your show,
yeah,
and laughing uproariously, of course, and attempting to park at the same time.
And what?
Attempting to park.
Oh, a car, yeah.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Well, I misjudged the size of the parking space and gouged a huge dent in a bumper of an unsuspecting car and also dented my vehicle.
Oh, Rachel.
And I consider that since I was listening to your show...
That we are liable.
You're liable.
Yeah, we have a standard response for that.
I mean, we can't. FCC won't allow us to say it over the air, but we'll be happy to send it to you in writing.
Well, the clean version is rave on, Rachel. R-O-R. Gee, that's too bad. I'm sorry to hear that. But,
well,
I mean, you probably shouldn't. I have had the same kind of problem. That if you're laughing too much and you try to control those 2 tons of angry pot roast, it's not easy to do that.
I agree, and now I just can't even leave my house because next time it might not be a car. It might be an innocent pedestrian.
That's true. What did you do? Did you leave a note for the other car, or did you just pull out and drive away?
No, I'm not that evil.
Oh, good.
I was attempting to disentangle the bumper of the other car.
Oh, really? Was that bad, huh?
Well, sort of. And the person came out. He came out of his house.
Oh,
ranting and raving, screaming?
Well, no, actually, he was really, really nice about it.
Oh, that's good.
Yes.
Well, so it was a pleasant experience, and you got to meet a new person.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, and did it become of it? I mean,
little accidents like that are actually good, I suppose. You get to meet people. You get to understand confrontations. You get to deal with adversity.
Hone your diplomatic skills.
Yeah,
exactly.
Hone those diplomatic skills. Yeah, I got more friends. My brother hasn't smashed up a car for a couple of days now.
Oh, really?
No, I haven't. I did have a bad run there for a while.
My brother's problem is he I think it's some kind of a contest. He tries to squeeze the car that he's driving into the smallest space, not parking space, driving space possible.
Oh.
And he continues to forget that these cars have mirrors sticking out.
Not anymore.
I mean, these cars had mirrors sticking out. And you've had a lot of issues with mirrors.
Well, you know, what I've discovered is that the term breakaway mirror is really true.
Yeah. It's
yeah.
good.
I mean, they snapped that Buick.
Boom.
And I hardly even knew it.
You didn't even
until
know.
I went to change lanes and I looked and the mirror was aimed at the tire.
The front tire.
So,
well, I'm sorry this happened to you, Rachel. I wish I mean, send us the standard
letter. No, we would settle with you, Rachel, but we're afraid that it might set a precedent.
Yeah,
so we're going to deny your claim. And from now on, there will be a warning at the end of the show. You can't listen to Car Talk and attempt to drive.
Speaking
of
precedent,
I think that's a good idea.
You think so, huh?
Standard.
Yeah, I think there'll be a standard warning. We'll get sober him up. We're gonna need him.
No, I mean, I think Rachel, you should send this into your insurance company and see if they cover it.
Well, you know, I'm a little nervous to do that because, unfortunately, this hasn't been my first parking problem.
Oh, and the others did not involve us, did they?
No.
You're on very tenuous ground here, Rachel.
And
I can see Perry Mason tearing you apart on the stand. And isn't it true, Rachel, that you were not listening to the show during the previous incidents? Oh, you're done for.
Well.
Hey, thanks for calling.
Okay.
See you, Rachel.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Hey. Do you know what time it is?
Time to string mistletoe all around the oil change bay?
No, no, no. It's time to play Stump the Chumps. It is time once again to put what's little left of our shred of credibility on the line by inviting a previous caller back onto the show to tell us whether our advice was any good or just plain bogus.
Did I mention that I hate this part of the show? All right, who's this week's contestant, Johnny?
It's Red Barker from New Jersey. And when Red first talked to us, he didn't sound like he had a car problem at all.
Yeah, well, this was before he talked to us, right?
Right.
Well, listen to this.
Yeah.
Last May, I'm driving around the corner from my house. I've got my daughter in the car, and we see a beautiful, big, baby blue convertible on this lawn.
Yeah.
And it's got a sign in it that says, "Are you ready for summer?" I immediately slam on my brakes, hang a U-turn, jump out of the car, say, "No, I'm not."
A baby blue what convertible?
1975 Pontiac Granville.
Oh, what a car.
So I buy the car, and I pick up my buddy and his kids and my daughter, and we go on our maiden voyage and smoking a couple of big cigars in front of this car.
You're saying it doesn't get any better than this.
That's right. And the kids are loving it. And then all of a sudden, there's smoke coming up from the floor.
Oh.
So we pull over. The floor of the car burst into flames.
The carpet, that is.
The carpet.
All right. So he did have a teeny little problem.
Picky. I bet he's glad of that fire now that it's winter.
Anyway, Red's mechanic quickly figured out that the exhaust system and converter were too close to the underside of the car, and that was setting the carpet on fire. So they repositioned that, and that took care of the flames.
That's right, but Red said that there was still way too much heat emanating from beneath the front passenger floorboard, and it was ticking off his girlfriend, so we told him that despite his mechanic's protest to the contrary, his converter was plugged up and that he should get a new one and reinforce the floorboards for good measure.
Okay, that was our advice, and it still sounds good to me. All right, Red, are you there?
Buongiorno.
Hey, man, are you ready for winter?
Let me tell you something. It's plenty warm enough now.
All right, look, before we hear about any other conflagrations, we have to confirm that you have not been offered any cash prizes or stock at any fire extinguisher companies to make us look bad today on Stump the Chumps. Is that true?
That is absolutely correct.
All right, so what happened?
So what we did was we welded a steel plate under the passenger side, replaced the catalytic converter.
Yeah.
And put in a heat reflector shield, as you recommended.
Yeah.
And my girlfriend was able to sit next to me for the remainder of the summer.
Oh. Yay! Very good. I'm very happy for you, Red. I'm happy for you, your car, your girlfriend, and everything else.
Thanks for playing Stump the Chumps.
Thanks, guys.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
If any of the rest of the six listeners we have happens to hear someone that you'd like us to bring back for Stump the Chumps, you can email us from cartalk.com and let us know who you want.
Or if you can't wait, you can try to stump us right now. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name is Abby Walther, and I'm calling you from Horton Bay Llama Farm in Charlevoix, Michigan.
Whoa, wait.
Wait, I got all that. The Horton Bay Llama Farm.
That's right.
In where?
Charlevoix, Michigan.
That I missed. Michigan's close enough.
Yeah, we know the llama farm.
Okay. Is that llama with one L or two?
And why don't we call them yamas?
Two L's.
The, yeah. You know, pajamas?
No, they should be yamas, no?
How many llamas do you have named Dolly?
None.
Oh, good.
So this is a question about llamas or cars?
No, it's a car question.
Okay.
It's a general question. About 2 months ago, I went into a garage, and I was getting an oil change, and they looked at my tires and said that I needed a realignment. And I'm a college student, so of course I didn't have any money when I went in.
And you said I can't need it that badly.
I asked my friends what they knew about realignments and how much they thought it would cost. And one of my friends said, oh, no, you don't need to go into a garage. Just find an area where you can back up, start driving really fast, and then brake hard, and you can realign your car. So I want to know if that's true.
No, everyone knows that if you want to,
Wait, first of all, who told you this?
My friend Lila.
Your friend Lila. Okay, and
she's been sniffing too many tailpipes. You must at least bring two wheels in contact with a curbstone in order for this method to work.
Right.
They have to be two diagonally opposite wheels, and that's to be done simultaneously.
Okay.
No, we're kidding. No, she's wacko. Yeah.
Well, her dad told her that.
I was just going to tell you, I know Lila got this from her father. Every piece of misinformation that people have, they got from their fathers.
All right.
It's about cars. Your mother never gives you misinformation about cars because mothers of that era admit they know nothing. Fathers can't admit that.
Okay.
They have to make believe they know something. This is the wackiest theory I've ever heard.
It is. Well, let's go ahead. Tell us more about it because maybe there's something to it.
Well, I ended up not doing it because I told my mom about it, and she said, if you do that to my car, I'll kill you. So I went in and just took it in for a regular realignment. And
yeah.
All right. Well, forget about the car because we know your question. We know the answer to your question.
You should have gotten the alignment done, assuming that you were at a reputable place, because the alignment is one of those things that you can let an alignment go. Because you don't really notice the ill effects of alignment because the ill effects are sort of insidious. Either tires are wearing out badly or the car is handling poorly, none of which you really would notice much. But in the long run, the tires will end up wearing out much sooner than they should, or you'll have accidents and all kinds of things could happen. So you got to have the alignment.
Okay, you
done.
Do. Oh, okay,
so that's
good.
It.
Okay,
but
that's
let's
good.
Get
that's
to the llama.
How far can a llama spit?
A little bit farther than a baseball player.
Oh, that's not too far. Llamas are really nice little creatures.
No, yet llamas are not nice creatures.
They are.
No, that's not what I understand. They understand they're kind of nasty.
Well, you're thinking about camels.
They're in the same family.
Yeah, but they're a lot nicer than camels. They're smaller.
They're what? They're smaller.
They're smaller, so they're at eye height.
They are at eye height.
Yes, they can spit right in your face.
Spit in your eye. Actually, you know what I want for a pet? A Sicilian donkey.
Well, I can't really help you with that.
You don't have any of them?
No.
Now, these llamas that you have some kind of a petting zoo or whatever at your farm?
No. My grandmother's a weaver, so she uses them for fiber.
Oh, really?
Fiber.
So you shear these llamae?
Well, actually, we just sort of comb it out of them most of the time.
No kidding?
Yep.
And she makes llama sweaters and stuff?
Yeah,
or rugs?
Scarves, blankets, all that kind of stuff.
No kidding. How are they as pets, though?
Nice. They're very gentle, very sweet.
How many do you have?
We have about 20.
20.
How many sweaters can you get out of one llama?
A lot.
Lots of sweaters, huh?
Yep.
And you need them up there in Michigan, too.
Right. Cool.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. So whose idea was it to raise these llamas? I mean, this is something that's going on for generations?
No. It's sort of a retirement project for my grandparents. But it keeps them pretty busy.
So your grandparents were like school teachers. They retired from their profession to decide, what are we going to do, Max? I don't know. Why don't we buy 400 or 500 llamas and make a ton of sweaters?
Something like that.
Something like that. Hey, thanks. Hey, Abby, is there an E in Abby or is it A-B-B-Y?
It's A-B-B-I-E.
I-E. Wow, was I off base. Okay, well, thanks for calling. And if you run across a Sicilian donkey, give me a buzz.
All right.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, look, it's time. It's pretty obvious. It's time for us to take a little break and give our friends at the stations a chance to chat with their listeners.
Yeah, I can hear their message now. Help! We've been tied up and we're being forced to air car talk. Please call the authorities.
Well, if that plea for help doesn't work, we'll be back with a brand new puzzler in just a minute, so stay tuned.
A big blue 6.0 Chevy, she's itching for a drive. A rumble on the freeway, pushing 85. I get behind the wheel with shades in Panama. That big old V8 up, she's growling and she's wrong.
And even though Amazon.com aims a delivery drone right at NPR's antenna, whenever we say it, this is NPR. We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss, of course, cars, car repair, and the new, I'd have to call it, automotive puzzler. You remember my neighbor Frank lived across
Certainly.
The street.
Frank, what a guy.
Frank was an interesting guy. And one morning, I'm out for my morning constitutional, and I noticed that Frank is in the driveway working on his car. He's got the thing jacked up, and I'm assuming that he's changing the oil or some such thing. I don't know. He was always working on his car.
The Lincoln?
And the Lincoln. And, of course, I always made myself scarce whenever Frank was working on his car.
Yeah.
And I did this time, too. He was under the car, and I see him working away, and I'm hiding behind the bushes. And after a few minutes, he rolls out on his creeper, and the next thing I know, he bends over and he picks something up off the ground, mm-hmm. and he holds it up. It's about the size of a quarter, and he has a look of, I would say, disappointment on his face.
Oh, yeah.
So he stands there, puzzled for a minute. Mm. Of course, I'm behind the bushes. I don't move.
No.
I'm still. Like a rattlesnake ready to strike. He enters the house, comes back a few minutes later with his vacuum cleaner. I figured he's going to vacuum out the car.
Hmm.
Which point, he attaches the vacuum cleaner to something under the hood.
Attaches the vacuum cleaner?
Yeah, the business end of the vacuum cleaner,
yeah,
not the plug.
The hose.
But the hose. Plugs the vacuum cleaner in. Starts it up.
Yeah.
Gets under the car with this little
thing
in his hand.
About the size of a quarter.
Does something.
Mm-hmm.
Emerges from underneath the car. And with a satisfied grin on his face, he turns off the vacuum cleaner.
Yeah.
And the question is, what the hell did he do?
Now, let me get this straight. The thing that he had in his hand... Did he have it in his hand as he rolled out with the creeper, or did he get it?
No, he rolled out on the creeper, and then he bent over.
So this thing was not underneath the car when he picked it up?
Oh, yeah, it was underneath.
It was underneath.
It was underneath the car when he picked it up, and he looked at it, and he said,
Yeah, okay.
And that's when he went in to get the vacuum cleaner.
Got it.
Okay, so you got the whole scenario?
Got the whole thing.
Now, if you think you know the answer, because I still don't, write it on a postcard and send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238. Or you can email your answer from cartalk.com. If you'd like to call us, as always, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Heidi from D.C.
Hi, Heidi.
Heidi.
Hi.
Heidi, 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 ho. What's up?
Well, I have a Peugeot station wagon, 505. I know. Disaster already.
How old is it?
1987.
No kidding.
Yep.
Someone had to have left this to you.
That is exactly what happened.
Was there a divorce involved?
No.
And was it nasty?
No, this was an aunt who left this to you.
Actually, my aunt and uncle gave it to me.
Really?
Yeah. And they figured that it would run for a couple months while I had it, and it's been on the road for over a
That's
year.
That's all it ever ran for them.
So you've had it for a year.
Yeah, and there are increasing problems. But the problem that I have for you guys is about 6 months ago, it started making this terrible groaning noise every time that I tried to turn at all. Which it didn't affect the way that I drove, but I thought, you know, it got worse and worse, and I figured maybe I should bring this to my mechanic. And she said that there were things that were wearing down, like the rotors or their pistons or something. Maybe this is totally wrong.
Okay, well,
yeah,
go ahead.
Is totally
okay,
wrong, maybe. But we'll come up with it.
Okay. Anyway, so she said that it would just gradually get worse and that it would be about $800 to replace, and there are no Peugeot distribution, you know, any kind of centers around here at all. So she said, basically, you know, you could just drive it until you can't turn anymore and you get so frustrated that you just pull over to the side of the road and call Salvation Army and have them come pick it up.
Did she say ball joints by any chance?
Oh, she might have.
Tie rod ends?
Oh, yes, that is what she said.
It's all coming together now.
It's all coming together.
Oh, yeah. Gee, wow. I don't quite understand her advice.
Then I should just leave it?
Well, I think you might want to leave it sooner than later.
Really?
The problem is that that vehicle has ball joints and tie rods that you cannot lubricate because they're sealed at the factory.
But you can whack them with a hammer.
Okay.
If it'll make you feel any better. But you can buy, actually, you should be able to buy ball joints and or tie rod ends for that vehicle. They're available.
Yeah. Well, she said they were, but she said it'd be, you know, sort of massively expensive for me to do that.
Well, but the thing is, if you continue to drive it, one of them is going to break.
So am I in trouble? Like, is this dangerous?
Yeah.
Okay.
See, you're in a very untenable position here because you got a car that you know you really shouldn't be driving because nobody wants to fix it.
This is true.
And so every time something goes wrong, you're reluctant to fix it. And yet you say, well, it's not that much money, and I got the car for nothing.
Right.
But you'll never know when should I really commit myself to this car, and when should I just say, I've had it.
Yeah, I don't think I'm committed to this car, but it's done me well for the year. But
yeah, I mean, the fact that they don't make parts anymore does make a commitment difficult.
It is not a long-term commitment vehicle. I mean, it just isn't, unless you can find someone in the area who is in love with these cars. You know what to do? Go to cartalk.com, and we have a thing called the Mechanics Files.
Okay.
And you can search it by city and by the type of vehicle that you're looking for expertise in.
Okay.
Right. And when your computer stops laughing.
When the computer stops laughing, who knows, you may find someone that does Peugeots. I mean, there is a place in the Cambridge area which has been around. I mean, Peugeot has not been in this market for, what, 25, 40 years, whatever it is. But there's a place in Somerville called Souza Brothers.
Okay.
And these guys won't give up. They're still there.
I like
They're
it.
Fixing Peugeots.
They're still working on the ones that came in 20 years ago.
1971. They're still waiting.
The customer calls. Don't call. We'll call you.
But, I mean, if you could find someone like that, they would have, you know, sort of underground ways of getting ball joints and tie rod ends and whatever else.
Okay.
And they could keep it going.
Okay. So even it has 192,000 miles on it. Is it really?
Mon
is it,
Dieu.
Sacré bleu.
Oh, no.
Oh, man. I mean, you got to make a decision. Either you're going to go for it or you're not.
Okay, but right now it's not safe.
I don't think so.
It probably isn't safe.
Okay, that's good to know.
And your mechanic just doesn't want to work on it, and she's trying to be diplomatic. You know,
okay.
Instead of just throwing you out, which is what we usually do.
Yeah, instead of saying, what are you, nuts, get out of here and don't come back.
Okay.
And don't come back!
See you, Heidi.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Good luck.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Lewis from Memphis, Tennessee.
Lewis with a W?
No, Lewis with an L. L-E-W, not L-O-U.
All right.
L-E-W from
right.
Memphis.
That's right.
Well, you know, Memphis is going to be the most crime-ridden.
What?
Well, according to John Grisham, everything nefarious in the world goes on in Memphis.
Well, there is a whole lot of shaking going on. You know?
A whole lot of shaking going on. Are you involved in legal practice of any kind?
No, I work for the government.
Oh, great.
Would you like to talk about your 1040 last year?
No, not about mine. I didn't have a 1040. I had a 1039.
1039.95. That was a special.
No, I do work for the IRS, so I did want to call and ask y'all a question or two, but not about your tax return.
Uh-oh.
Oh, boy.
Hey, by the way, can we ask you a question?
Well, no, it depends.
I don't know if this is legit or not, but you know, a lot of times we do fundraising for National Public Radio, various stations. And we're always at a loss to try to find out a way to motivate people to send in pledges to the radio stations, which very badly need the money in most cases.
Yeah.
So here's what we came up with. So, I mean, people call up and they say, I'd like to make a pledge for $100.
Right.
We say, okay, when you send in your pledge for $100, we'll send you back a slip that says you pledged $300. It'll end up costing you nothing.
Right.
Because you deduct the $300, saving $100 in taxes, which you gave to us, it's free.
Right. Do you want his Social Security number now or when we finish the call?
Now, do you see any problem with that, Lewis?
Well, we have a term for that. It's called lying.
Oh, shucks.
Just outright lying.
Consarn it?
Yeah.
Oh, you know, just cut straight to the chase, you know, and then call it what it is.
Right? All right.
If that's the case, then I think you should maybe drop a note to National Public Radio, Washington, D.C.
Don't let those clowns do this anymore.
Yeah. Well, thanks for calling, Lewis. It's been a pleasure talking to you, as always.
What's up?
No, I got a problem with a Volkswagen Jetta, and I was wondering if y'all have heard of this before. It's got an ABS system on there.
Yeah.
The light won't go out. The little orange light, it will come on sometimes, and it stays on. Then when you shut the car off, you know, you start it back up, it goes out. Sometimes you drive, and it comes on, and when you turn the car off, it goes out. And, of course, you start back up, and it stays on. Sometimes it comes on. Sometimes it stays off. Who knows?
Right. Sometimes it stays on constantly all the time that you're driving?
Right.
Right. It's supposed to stay on for a half a minute or so.
But then sometimes you'll start the car, and it'll run through its check, and then the light stays on, and it won't go out. Now, we took it over to the dealer while it was under warranty, and they did all their checks and balances and that sort of thing. And they came back, and they said, voila, it's fixed. Well, we went out, and it wasn't. And we went back and forth with this. And so after the warranty expires, I took it back in there again and said, I have a pre-existing condition. They said, well, the only way that you're going to be able to find out what it is for us to hook it up on our special super-duper machine. We paid $60 for that, you know.
Yeah.
We said, oh, we found out what it is. It's the control unit. Now, it can be fixed for $1,300.
Wait a minute. Now, did they not have this machine the first time you went in there?
That's what I asked the man. I said, I would have thought that you would have done this when you checked it the first time. He says, well, it's not one of those type of things that we'd like to do right off because it may be something as simple as a loose wire or a loose fitting or something like that.
That's bogus, isn't it? And we like to wait until the warranty runs out.
Yeah, so now the car is 2 years old and it's got about 33,000 miles on it.
Mm-hmm.
And every once in a while it comes on and every once in a while it stays off. And I'm wondering, first of all, you know, the brake system seems to operate properly, except that I'm sure that the ABS part doesn't work when it's on.
It probably doesn't. Or at least it doesn't work correctly.
At least you don't know.
Right.
How would we know?
I don't want to go out and try to lock it up, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's unlikely that the light is just coming on in some haphazard manner. I think there really is something wrong with the ABS. And I think you have a case for having them fix it for nothing.
Well, I went to the next step. I got the name.
Good.
The zone manager, and he gave me the same spiel. He tells me, he said that, you know, since it was out of warranty, and I told him it was a pre-existing condition, he says, well, it will cost you about $1,200 for the part.
Well, they dropped another. Well, first of all, do they know that you work for the IRS?
No, I think it would be.
Do you have cards? I think it'd be very. I mean, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah. That's
nothing
it.
Strikes fear in the hearts of
a mechanic or a zone manager
than a card that says Lewis blah 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 Internal Revenue Service
and then knee special breaker. Agent
right special agent whatever your card says.
Yeah, that would do it. I mean, I think, gee, I mean, if it's under warranty,
when it
was under warranty, they would have fixed it for nothing.
I would have thought that, too. It's not going to cost them anything. It's not going to cost the dealer anything because that part labor and all that comes from the factory, doesn't it?
Well, yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, it shouldn't cost them. It's not going to cost the dealership anything. In fact, they're going to make money on it.
I don't understand why they won't do this.
Well, because this zone guy is representing the factory, and he's the one who's balked at it.
But he's got to understand that you work for the Internal Revenue Service and you had a pre-existing condition and you're going to hire one of those ambulance chasers from Memphis. According to John Grisham,
they're all over the place.
There are more lawyers in Memphis than there are in any other city in the country per capita.
There's a bunch.
There you go.
There you go.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think they're really out of line here because you went in there with a problem when the car was under warranty. They gave you this bum's rush, and now you go back with the same problem, which has existed all this time, and they tell you that it's out of warranty. That's not nice. You really have a very strong case here, and you should not take no for an answer. And you should press and press and threaten everything and find a lawyer if you have to, because they have to fix this for you. That's all there is to it.
When someone calls you at your office, is there a voicemail or something that says, or a secretary that says, Internal Revenue Service?
Yes.
Oh, cool.
That's it.
Just tell them, this is my number. I want you guys to look at it once more. Call me when you've made a decision.
Exactly.
And when that voice on the other end says, Internal Revenue Service,
they'll change their tune pretty
quick.
You'll
just hear a click.
Yeah.
Well, that'll be great. That's what I'll do then.
Yeah. Sue their butts,
Lewis. I'll have to just lay on them until they squeal, huh?
Yes, I think so.
That's what I would do.
Good luck, man.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, it's happened again. You've squandered another perfectly good hour of potential holiday cheer listening to Car Talk instead.
What a shame.
Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Daw Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Helsinki Habanero Herring and Halva, hold down, is John Buxy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marjan Overa. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our long-distance truck driver is Etienne Wheeler. And our solicitor of new ideas is Obi Quiet. I like Etienne Wheeler.
Yeah.
Our sexual harassment investigator is Hank Pankey. The pre-recorded portions of today's show were selected by staff librarian Albin Heard before. Our chief benefactor is Myra Chunkle, the president of...
Myra Chunkle, of course.
The president of the Disgruntled Hatchback Owners Club is Ivana Trunk. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff, and our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is you, Louis Dewey, known to the street merchants in Harvard Square selling Pure Andy's alpaca sweaters hand-knit in the Bronx as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
Why not? Don't drive like my brother.
Good question. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1349, download classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our 25th anniversary swag all over at cartalk.com. This week featuring a great way to ring out the old and ring in the new.
Did NPR finally cancel us?
No, not yet. I'm talking to people who have a used vehicle that they no longer need.
Ring out the old car.
Right. If you donate a used car before the end of the year, not only will the proceeds benefit your favorite radio station, but you'll also get a tax deduction for this year.
Yeah, offset some of those illegal gambling receipts. Oops, did I say that with my outside voice?
Get all the details of the Car Talk vehicle donation program anytime at our website, cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though the NPR elocution coach sobs into her chamomile tea whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR.